following the delivery of the explosive powder. Rubin and Krugel were both arrested at their homes last night by members of the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Both defendants are scheduled to make their initial appearance today in federal court at 2 p.m.
The Jewish Defense League was originally formed in 1968 by Rabbi Meir Kahane to mount an armed response to anti-Semitic acts in New York. The JDL gained notoriety when its members were linked to bombings, most of them aimed at Soviet targets in retaliation for the way that country treated its Jewish population. Kahane left the organization in the 1980s and a power struggle ensued, with Irvin David Rubin among the contenders for leadership. Rubin has made a career out of confrontation. By his own count, he has been arrested more than 40 times, and in 1980 he was tried and found innocent of soliciting the murders of suspected Nazis in the U.S. Gordon says Rubin's arrest should serve as a clear warning to anyone trying to use religious faith as a justification for violent acts.
Not long after the September 11 terrorist attacks, I announced my office's promise to vigorously prosecute hate crimes and urged the residents of this community not to resort to religious or political terrorism in the aftermath of September 11. Last night's arrest confirmed that we meant what we said. If you cross the line from expressing your political or religious beliefs to committing violent acts against those whose beliefs are offensive to you, then you will likely end up facing federal prosecution on charges carrying extremely long prison sentences.
Rubin and Krugel are currently being held in federal custody. No date has been set yet for their trials. For WBAI News, I'm Ginger Otis.
And we're listening to the news on WBAI Pacifica Radio in New York City. I'm Paul DiRienzo. It is 9:01 in the morning. The village that lost its biggest employer and taxpayer when General Motors closed an assembly plant is trying to buy the site so it can be the owner and be the regulating authority of any development. Sleepy Hollow Mayor Phil Zegarelli says the village has decided to exercise an option in the agreement signed with GM in 1998. He hopes to complete the sale for as little as $12 million. An arbitrator would determine the price if the company and the village don't agree. General Motors has already selected a developer for a residential and commercial project on the site. The company says Sleepy Hollow may be erecting a roadblock. There's a settlement in the Toms River, New Jersey cancer cluster case. Two chemical companies and Dover Township's public water provider will pay 69 families of children stricken with cancer on an undisclosed sum. SEBA Specialty Chemicals, Union Carbide, and United Water Toms River do not admit responsibility or liability. The settlement ends 4 years of mediation about possible links between environmental contamination and the cancers. It was not known if the agreement includes payment for medical monitoring. Authorities are probing why an abnormally high number of children in Ocean County's largest community were diagnosed with cancer between 1979 and 1995. And finally, charges have been dropped against a Westchester prison guard who was accused of demanding to see an inmate's private parts before he would let her have pain medication. Robert Escalera is the third of four county correction officers, that's in Westchester County, to be exonerated after their highly publicized arrest 2 years ago for alleged sexual attacks on female inmates. The arrest prompted County Executive Andrew Spano to ban male officers from posts inside the women's prison living quarters, ending a bid by seniority system. The Correction Officers Benevolent Association is challenging the ban in federal court. The official misconduct charge against Escalera of Yonkers was dropped after an arbitrator at his departmental trial ruled in his favor and assailed the evidence. A spokeswoman for DA Janine Pirro says prosecutors realized they did not have sufficient case to go beyond reasonable doubt. Of the other guards arrested, Javier Corona was acquitted of third-degree rape. Michael Downey was acquitted of official misconduct and sexual abuse. Carlos Aldonado was sentenced to probation after his guilty plea to third-degree rape for having sex with an inmate. It's 47 degrees going up to 55 in New York. I'm Paul DiRienzo with the WBAI News Department. Here's Hugh Santiago and WBAI This Morning.
And the show continues right after this break. It is 9:04. WBAI This Morning is the show. We're Pacifica Radio in New York at 99.5 FM. I'm Santiago Nieves here with Paul DiRienzo. Do stay with us.
Radio Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
An arts magazine. Live on Wednesday nights at 10. I'm Janet Coleman, the host.
And I'm David Dozer.
The displaced playwright. This program used to be called by another name.
Now introducing Cat Radio Cafe.
Cat Radio Cafe. Still featuring great interviews with scintillating authors and provocative artistes.
Or vice versa.
The latest in theater, books, art, and performance. What's new on the Rialto and Ludlow Street? And one or two of the 137 Poison Arts Minutes.
Of plays.
Radio minutes that take up to 12 and a half hours to produce.
A marketing idea still ahead of its time.
Listen to this tune. Oh, I can see you cats now.
Hey.
Stop clawing the furniture.
Sit down.
Head for the radio. Yes?
Cat Radio Cafe.
Cat Radio Cafe, Wednesday nights at 10, here on WBAI.
Hey, do cats drink coffee?
If it's brewed with fish. This is that mercurial sister, Andrea Clark. You can now catch Sister from Another Planet every Thursday overnight into Friday mornings from 3:30 to 6 a.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM. So stay up late or get up early for a Sister from Another Planet for the best progressive music in the universe. Revolutionary Love.
You're tuned to High Five, WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial. New York.
On Wall Street. Look sharp today, boys, especially you rookies. $6 million next month up 94% last night. We expect heavy capital buying on the opening. Permits 1,000. Deal for sale of the big boat, 350,000 before convened. Get on the horn with your institution. On report on their opportunity. Long utilities are up top priority today. Okay, let's go.
And we're here at 9:08 in the morning. Thank you for joining us. We've been here since 7:30. We're here Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 10 o'clock. This is Paul DiRienzo clearing his throat. Paul, good to see you, man.
Yeah, good morning.
Here we are. Well, what do you think of John Liu?
He seems like a very nice guy. I'm really happy that finally, after all these years, you know, on the Lower East Side, we had this whole redistricting controversy back in 1990, which is like ages ago.
That's right.
But it set the stage. Folks wanted to see an Asian American district, which I don't know if I agree totally with that idea, but it never worked because constantly, even though it was an Asian American district, it wasn't electing Asian Americans. But I guess finally the breakthrough came. It took 10 years. It took a new district and then a new district plus 10 years.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that by cutting off the first district, by cutting off Chinatown from the rest of the Lower East Side, it stuck us with Antonio Pagan for 8 years or whatever it was, which was sort of a drag. But at least now they got Margarita, with, despite her problems, is somewhat progressive. At least she's forced Charas and all these things.
So, of course, what also emerged,
you know, there
from
was
there.
This weird redistricting thing going on.
And what also emerged from there, of course, was the newly created Bull Moose, they call it district, the 13th Congressional Triborough
District. Congressional district, right.
That Nydia Velasquez represents.
The Bull Moose District.
The Bull Moose District.
Teddy Roosevelt's going to run for it.
Because it looks like a moose, they say, but they rather... but, of course, the 13th Congressional District and all districts under redistricting are going to be challenged and are always being challenged by some of the most racist, low-down groups around the country for just all of the wrong reasons.
Now, this year didn't seem to be as heavily challenged this decade, the census, because they use the census as the basis. Every 10 years of redistricting.
Well, the census was, in fact, challenged. We brought the story
right, but
here.
But the redistricting doesn't seem to be the same painful redistricting of, council districts as it was 10 years ago.
No, I don't think so either. Perhaps,
what was happening 10 years ago? the political pundits who were in charge of redistricting were setting the stage for the election of Giuliani and Pagan and trying to get rid of these old commies from the 60s.
Yeah. Don't you think term limits might have also mitigated that?
I think
maybe there is some more fairness in the equation now. So
I think that's why they came up with term limits.
To try and balance
out the fact that people realized that the powers that be were going to use redistricting to make sure that I mean, being in the Lower East Side, I knew the circumstance that was developing. The community there was very strong around keeping the park open 24 hours, around very progressive stands, many of them on issues that had nothing to do with the Lower East Side, but on international and national politics. They had a lot of significant power. A lot of disenfranchised poor people were making sure that people who had their interests in heart, the interests of the homeless, et cetera, were elected. And you could see the growing backlash to that. And around Tompkins Square Park, the riot in 88 was just the beginning of the whole fight back, of the whole backlash, and redistricting was very much part of that.
Well, you know, back to John Liu, I'm glad he's a Democrat. He seems to be talking the good talk. As you heard him say, one of the most important issues, he said to him, is the issue of racial profiling in the city. I told him that was good to hear from an Asian American and he says he represents Asian Americans, African Americans, Latinos, and others, very diverse. So I hear some good movement there. Let's see what happens with John Liu. You know, it's 9:12 in the morning. I guess at this point we can pretty much fairly say that because of the phone company technical difficulties, not on our side, we are unable to reach the mayor of Vieques, Puerto Rico today. But we will try him all afternoon and try to get you that together for you for tomorrow morning. Again, the mayor of Vieques, Puerto Rico, Damaso Serrano, hopefully will be joining us tomorrow. He was arrested recently, did a 120-day stint, that really is hard time. So we're going to talk to him about all that. It is 9:12 in the morning. Paul, what do you say we open up the phone lines and take some calls on these issues and others? There are people salivating out there when I said let's open up. 9:12 in the morning, 212-209-2900. But you know that because the phones have been ringing since I've been here at 7:30. People do that on this show. We have instituted, like it or not here, a habit. And people think that we, of all things, might be taking calls and taking their opinion and their take and their analysis and how they feel about a particular issue. How dare we? How dare we do that? 212-209-2900.
Let's take the dog for a walk.
We're also ready to be challenged. At least Paul is. I'm not. I'm a nice guy today, and I will simply not be. Only kidding. 9:13 in the morning. Do give us a call here, 212-209-2900. This is WBAI This Morning. Welcome to the show. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Santiago.
Good morning. If anyone wants to give us their first name and where they're calling from, that might be nice.
Hello?
Yes, you are?
I'm calling from Brooklyn.
All right. You want to give us your name?
My name is Joseph.
Yes, Joseph.
I was wondering if someone could get an expert on me to point out some kind of similarities between the bombing in Vieques, the practice runs in Vieques, and the actual game plan to bomb Afghanistan, if that's actually been connected.
Actually, I read a report a couple of days ago that they're opening a bombing range out west in order to practice in a desert location similar to Afghanistan.
Well, I mean, it's mountainous in Vieques.
Right,
so
but
they've been doing that for like 50 years.
I think it's
years.
A major. Right. It's a major area. They wanted to practice their cave bombing techniques. And so they opened up this reservation out in Nevada, I think it is, 1 million acres, in order to practice a mountain and desert bombing. However, I'm sure the original chops for that came out of Vieques.
Well, but Joseph, you bring up a good issue, and we'll ask the mayor as soon as we get him on tomorrow. On the issue of Vieques, you're absolutely right. The mountainous terrain, as you said, the bombing, the caves, they can certainly use it as an excuse. And in fact, as I said earlier in the show, something we're going to ask the mayor about, it already is essentially silent. Look how visible Vieques is, and it's not on the horizon anymore.
And how advisable would it be to escalate the demonstration in Vieques? That's what I wanted to ask.
Well, for that, I think that's certainly this mayor, after doing a 120-day stint, will be glad to talk about it.
We have to get an anti-war movement going in general in this country towards this horrifying thing that's going to expand out of Afghanistan to who knows what other countries, Iraq, Somalia, whatever it is. And before this turns into like a real disaster, we need to get an anti-war movement going. The ECCAS is a great place to get started.
Joseph, let me give you a response to something. You work with email at all?
Yes, I do.
All right. If you email us at WBAI this morning, three words all together, WBAI this morning at AOL.com.
Okay.
We'll refer you to the proper groups because there are several groups out there who are doing activism around that. But again, I tell you, Joseph, we tell all listeners, there's nothing illegal, nothing immoral, nothing wrong with your calling those who are representing a different point of view and telling them exactly how you feel, whether they be elected officials or judges or anything else.
Yeah,
but you know, people need to get into the habit of doing that. And I think to that extent, if we can get any kind of pro-activism or activism around that, I think it's a great idea what you're talking about. And that is, there are coalitions, there are organizations formed around that, and numbers, big numbers are important. But please do not underestimate the power of you picking up that phone.
Okay,
for writing that letter. Thanks a lot. 9:16 in the morning. Hi there, WBAI this morning. You're on the air. We're talking about a couple of issues. The World Trade Center. We just had John Liu, the first Asian American to be elected to the city council, talking about Vieques. Rather eclectic morning. Hi there. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm calling from Manhattan.
And your name?
Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I'm sorry to go off the subject a little bit, but I feel this is very important. The CCRB, Civilian Complaint Review Board.
Yes.
And I don't work for them. They're having a meeting. Their annual monthly board meeting Friday, December 14th. And I just would like to let your callers know that they should come out, you know, since people of color are usually on the other end of, you know, this board with complaints and stuff, that they should come out, attend the meeting. The floor is open for 3 minutes, you know, for your comments or suggestions or complaints, and it becomes part of the public record. I heard you earlier this week, or last week, excuse me, discuss policing and what's going on. May I give the address?
Please do. As long as we tell our listeners kind of a disclaimer, we haven't verified it, but as a listener, you're very free to do that. Also, tell us about the location and the time.
Okay. It's Friday, December 14th at 40 Rector Street, second floor. I believe it starts a little bit later at 12 noon.
So we're talking tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow. Okay. And there is a contact number. Their general office number is 212-442-8833.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you. And that's an important thing. As I you know my take on the CCRB. I think they're a sham in the city, and they don't do what they're supposed to be doing. They're pretty much all, in one way or another, direct or indirect, Giuliani buddies, some kind of connection there, and I've never been happy with it. So it's good that if people can go.
So you like Ruben Diaz, come on.
But I love the guy.
You love Ruben Diaz.
I love the guy. And
he's your favorite CCRB member.
My favorite homophobic CCRB member. So the number again is 212-442-8831, says this listener.
Excuse me.
Yes?
33.
Oh, excuse me. Give it to me again. 212-442-8831.
33, 40 Rector Street, second floor.
833 at 40 Rector Street, and that's tomorrow, December 14th. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, 9:19 in the morning, WBAI this morning. You're on the air. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On Tahrir, on Tuesday of this week, Shabazz from the Bronx called up and said all Jews should be rounded up, shot, and spend the rest of their lives in eternal damnation.
That's
at that point,
horrible.
The hostess cut him off.
That's horrible.
I am making a crusade to keep Shabazz off these airwaves, a personal crusade.
Well, you know what? It's interesting you bring that up. And let me... what's your name, by the way?
George.
George, let me bring it up within this context.
Good.
And I'm glad that you brought that up because...
I'm you're not slamming the phone down on my face.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. How do you like that?
Whoa.
Not only that, I think that it is... And by the way, let me make a clear announcement here. I am not talking about Tahrir. I am not talking about any particular producer. Let me deal with this in the context of responsibility. If you're in front of this microphone and your only response is to get rid of somebody and have absolutely no response, that is to some extent somewhat responsible. After all, they knocked them off. I can't knock somebody for that. However, I said that if someone is calling and making racist comments, one element of it is when they were cut off. And if a producer cuts off someone who's making those comments, I don't have too much of a problem. Were you saying that they weren't cut off?
He was finally cut off. He started talking about Afghanistan and the Taliban, you know, and so on and so on. And then at the end of it, the culmination was that remark about the Jews. And then the guest hostess cut him off.
All right, hold on a moment. I want to give you the opportunity. This is important. This is radio because it happens to me and Paul often.
Fantastic.
And people get off on a very serious subject and then at the end do a little whammy on us and hope for us to swallow the entire package. I understand what you're saying. Hopefully we're savvy enough to know when that's coming. Sometimes we don't, and they surprise us also, and then we cut them off. However, my point is that we try to be as responsible here. I have never seen Paul or anyone that I respect on this air let any racist go on and on. They're usually told off as they should be. If a listener said exactly what you said on any show, think it's outrageous, I think it is anti-Semitic, it is hateful, and that language simply is not allowed. I mean, it's about hate radio, and we're not hate radio. That's all I'm saying.
I know. That's why.
Not to talking about a particular show, producer, whatever.
Now, George, one more thing.
I'm going to be clear about this because this is the important part. Because you said you don't know why this caller wasn't, you know, kicked off the air and just banned. Well, let me tell you that I agree with you. And there are, I mean, not necessarily around this listener, and you, I won't even mention their names. Two listeners particularly that I don't even entertain on the air. I am proud of knocking them off, and unless you haven't noticed, they don't call me anymore. Why?
Yes, I have.
Because after 5 years of their dilly-dallying into ultimately what remains racist calls and intolerance, I don't tolerate, so it's as simple as that.
Mike Fader spent an entire 20 minutes discussing this, etc. Now, Reverend Johnson, who calls this station often, around July 4th, called two programs. Yours and Marjorie Moore.
Yes.
And made this remark, and I quote him, And he went on, I want you to know
that in the process of you trying to not pay attention to these listeners, you're making them all an issue, okay?
I guess maybe I am.
Why don't we move on? It's 9:23 in the morning.
Second.
George, you there?
Okay, good. All right.
I don't want you to ever say that I cut you off, George. We got to move on, okay?
Okay.
All right, 9:23. Bye. I think we made our point, don't you?
Right.
Okay.
We also can't be the police over every statement that people make. So, you know, if people believe bizarre things and they get it on the air, I mean, I'm not going to necessarily ban that person forever for that statement because I'd ban so many people for their racist anti-black statements, their racist anti-Jewish statements, their racist anti-this statements and that statements. Unfortunately, in this world, there's a lot of bizarre racist ideas, and people don't necessarily think that they're saying things that are racist, and cutting them off and screaming at them doesn't always work.
I do. Absolutely right. However,
you just have to deal with it and, like, try and educate them.
The area of legitimacy that it speaks to, too, of course, clearly, however, is the responsibility and the role that a talk show host pays to what he's doing.
Right.
And
right.
Responsible to the show and
for example, somebody, people often do quote this Protocols of the Elders of Zion, right, as if it was gospel, and I've seen people read it everywhere.
Right.
And, like, I must explain to folks, do you know the history of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, that this was written by the Tsarist Russians in order to create a justification for forcing Jewish people out of their homeland?
You know, in the end, when we talk about these disparities, all too often people clearly get the wrong message, and they think somehow that the ultimate response is about being divisive, and really the ultimate response is to the need to form coalitions. So this kind of divisiveness,
right?
This is what we're all
exactly.
about here.
We have to just, like, we talk about things
because it's a reality. Often it's in our own home turf, and sometimes people are not willing to hear the criticism.
Right.
The reality.
It's subtle. Sometimes it can be subtle. Sometimes a statement that somebody says that seems the most anti-Semitic is less dangerous than a much more subtle statement.
Let's take some more calls. 212-209-2900. It's 925, 45 degrees in New York. This is WBI this morning at 99.5 FM. I'm Santiago here with Paul. You're on the air.
Go Monroe.
Give me the bell. Speaking of which, 9:25 in the morning. Huh? Again,
the Monroe Doctrine.
The doctrine comes right in there. It's important to our historically informed listeners. 212-209-2900. Either BAI, you're on the air. Hello.
Peace. Good morning.
Good morning. Peace.
I'd like to say, last week you guys had some gentlemen talking about Freemasonry who had called in.
Yeah. Among other things, yeah.
Among other things,
bill.
Yes.
Yeah.
I happen to be a Freemason. A lot of the things that were said were untrue. Now, I don't remember exactly what they were because I didn't have time to jot them down.
Okay.
But, and I'm sorry.
I'm glad you're getting, you know, because I didn't want to pick an argument with that person because I don't know that much about it. But yeah. I have, like, one friend of mine who just became a Freemason a couple of years back.
Yeah.
Very sweet guy, very politically progressive guy. He was happy to be a Freemason. He thought it's historical, it's patriotic. There's no problem with it.
I also added to the fact that there are at least two family members of mine that are Freemasons,
right.
African-American and a Latino brother for,
right. So, I mean, you know,
for many, many, many years.
You ever see that Simpsons episode where they're like having, they sing that song cutters. Together, the stone cutters?
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. That's great.
So listen.
Anyway, go ahead. We hear you. Go ahead, brother.
What I was alluding to was, yeah. See, a lot of people take Freemasonry, like so many other things, on face value.
Uh-huh.
There's Freemasonry and there's actual Freemasonry. I'm not talking about the Freemasonry that was created by Europeans because we're all most are free and accepted. But Freemasonry goes way back before Hiram Abiff in the Bible. It goes back to Imhotep.
Yeah, well, we talked about its history here.
But that's not... But that's
you think
not,
that in the end
that
it came
That wasn't
out?
The foundation or the grounds on which that particular conversation was built on. And that's what I had a problem
what
with.
What it was built on is when he brought up the whole dollar bill.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to say he was lying, but he was inaccurate about a lot of things. But another
that's
thing...
That's all right. Please educate me. I want to know more.
Okay, I'm not going to get into Freemasonry because it's another thing I want to say, and I know there's so many other callers that want to get, you know, their word in. But another thing that bothered me was this morning when I heard you guys talking about, you know, some of the callers who may call in with something that might appear racist to some people. And I think I don't agree with you because I feel that, you know, what may appear to be racist to one person may not be racist to another. And really, who's defining the word racist?
Let me tell you two thoughts on that. Number one, if you express racist ideas on this program and you take your time and you really think that you're right and you somehow are not just vitriolic and screaming a mad person, I'm going to let you get it all out, but then you got to be ready for my response. That's all I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
The second thing is, if you are ranting and raving, at least on this show, it ain't going to happen, and I am going to take you to task. So those are two very different things. You understand
right,
what I'm
exactly.
saying? Often
yeah.
we have people here who really think they're well-meaning and well-thinking and then come into a horrific scenario. I'm with you, brother. I understand what you're saying. There are two different things, you know. That doesn't mean that we tolerate either one, though, because in the end, they're both racist.
Yeah, I understand. And you guys have a great show.
Thanks,
you do a good job.
I appreciate
have a good
it,
day, okay?
And listen, you call and tell us off anytime. All right. 9:28 in the morning. All right.
All right.
WBAI this morning, 212-209-2900. Actually, you can call and tell Paul off a hell of a lot more. Hi there, BAI. You're out of the air.
I got a thick skin.
Good morning,
yeah.
Paul and Santiago. This
hey,
is,
guy.
This is Larry speaking from Manhattan.
Hey, Larry.
How you doing?
Oh, you're one of the often callers they talk... No, I'm only kidding. Larry. Go ahead.
Okay, in regards to the remark by Brother Shabazz made,
yeah.
Although I'm a black man, I do not agree with his remarks totally. Because you do not know every person of every race and religion, regardless, to make a remark such as that. Because you may find that some people may disagree what's happening in the Middle East.
Absolutely.
What's happening in Afghanistan, what's happening here in America, what's happening in Israel, and what's happening in Palestine. Because individuals may not express the views of whatever they, regardless of race or religion, religious beliefs, I should say.
Oh, so you're saying maybe two things. Perhaps someone doesn't express themselves
right.
that way, but be very careful. They may be expressing a point of view that's relevant.
Right. Wherever you go, regardless wherever you don't agree, whether I don't agree what he has said, and I do not, and that's kind of and believe me, that mark was way off course what he just stated.
Yeah, and you're calling as a listener to say that you're not happy with it. I think
right.
that's important.
Right. Regardless, because that, regardless what a handful of individuals may feel or do does not mean you should bring the whole group entirely to what that whole that person may feel or may feel.
Okay, so let me make it clear. I just want to say that we should just let, as I said before, let people express themselves, but also be able to be challenged if we don't agree with their ideas. And I think you're also saying, Larry, that there is, clearly the guy has a militant stand, and many people do. And I think you're also saying, and I agree with this if you are, that, I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I think there's a great deal with that, what that caller says. That is relevant, as I put it before in the vernacular. However, we keep listening, and then at the end, we hear something that's off the wall. But much of these ideas are based on I think, at least, let's say, they're well-meaning.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Sometimes those are the most dangerous ones, though.
Exactly.
Careful.
I mean,
you have to be careful.
What is hell
paved
with?
We can't cut the person off.
What is hell paved
with? We have to deal with it as best as we can.
You got it.
The thing is, if you're gonna make a statement, make sure you have enough evidence, because you talk to every individual regardless and speak with them and see what their ideas and opinions are.
Hear, hear. And that goes on both sides of this microphone.
Regardless if you're a Christian, Muslim, Hebrew, no matter what their religion, they are individuals. And regardless what they think or feel or what's happening with the four corners of what's happening right now,
Yeah. Make
sure you think about it carefully and diligently before you speak out, because
Yeah. It's
going to come back to haunt you.
You know what, Larry? That's good advice for those of us who are at home and good advice for those of us who are in front of this microphone.
And
thanks a lot, man.
All right, as I always say, do not let hate become your best friend and fear becomes your worst enemy.
Hey, you know it's easy to go there too, isn't it, Larry?
Yes, it is.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right, you're welcome.
9:32 in the morning. Great calls this morning. 212-209-2900. You should see Paul DiRienzo. All he needs is a pillow, a down pillow, and he's out. Paul, you've been doing double duty, right?
I've been laughing at me, yeah.
Triple duty.
Well, my mind's working. I have to, put my body into neutral in order for my mind to get all the energy.
And we're taking your calls here at 212-209-2900. WBAI, this morning, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Paul and Santiago. How
hey,
are
guy.
You?
Okay.
Very good show.
Thank you.
Can I kind of change the tune for just one second? If I could, I'd like to ask Paul a housing question.
Go right ahead.
Okay, very good. My name is Malik, and I'm legally blind now, Paul, and I'm looking for a housing right now, kind of in a homeless situation. Who would I contact specifically, or what agency as far as advocacy to get me moving in the right direction as far as someone that can represent me as far as housing with a disability?
Santiago, I think, is looking at me. Do you have a
As a matter of fact, yeah. I do. It's one of my favorite things. I also volunteer around this for people with AIDS and HIV, and I don't know whether you are that. Malik,
no,
may
that's,
I ask
that's,
you?
That's not, I, I'm not, that's not the case.
That's
I
okay.
I am legally blind, though.
Okay. And how old are you, if I may?
I'm 37.
Okay. Do you work with email at all, Malik?
I can.
Well, if it's difficult, if you have access, email us, because I'd like to have a record of it too, at WBAI this morning, all three words together,
okay,
at AOL.com.
Okay, let me write that down.
I'm going to also give you our off-air telephone.
At AOL.com.
Yeah, WBAI this morning,
okay,
at AOL.com.
All right.
And our phone number off the air is
212-209-2815.
I'm not guaranteeing anything, Malik, but we'll have to do some homework for you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Okay, man.
All right, have a good day.
All right,
okay.
9:34 in the morning. This is WBAI this morning, and you're on the air. By the way, that email address is good for all of y'all. WBAI this morning at AOL.com. You can also send us your comments and any hate mail to Paul DiRienzo can be sent there. Hello there, you're on the air. Yes.
Diago and
yes.
Paul, how are you?
Good
morning.
All right.
I just want to start off by saying those damn Jews, you know?
I'm kidding. Oh, you can't kid around like that.
Well, I'm a Jew, so I'm just kidding.
Okay, that helps. And then somehow we believe you, but I understand.
I'm part Jewish.
They're like the Freemasons.
Oh, now he's part Jewish.
They run everything.
I'm only 99.9%.
Are you saying in your very bad way that some of us have too thin skin or something like that?
I wanted to start off the call with like a Lenny Bruce improv, so I figured that.
Well, to me, that's the one thing I always loved about Jewish culture is the ability of Jewish people to laugh at themselves.
Speaking of which, you know,
and I
caller,
think that
this
is
caller.
The thing we forget so much, and some of the most wonderful
Lenny Bruce
comedy and so wonderful self analysis comes from Jewish culture, and you know, to me, that was always something I loved about Jewish culture, is the ability to laugh at oneself.
I'm a Puerto Rican, and I can guarantee you that my sense of humor, as it is in most of New York and a great deal of the country, the basis is what they call Jewish humor here during the 40s and 50s. You know what I'm
it's
talking
funny.
About?
It's funny. It's still funny.
See what we did for you. See what we did for you. Anyway, what's on your mind? Go ahead.
I wanted to also change subjects a little here.
Okay.
I'm not looking for a number to call, but my subject is commercial traffic in New York City. And I know I've talked to you about this before, but it's getting worse and worse. They're giving tickets now for a half hour of a commercial driver, say a van driver, parking and spending more than a half hour in that spot, whether it's waiting for a freight elevator for 25 minutes, or whether it's delivering and getting packages or boxes,
uh-huh,
or everything signed. And, you know, just waiting for a freight elevator can take up to a half hour.
Oh, I've seen some nasty fights out there, especially
exactly
when a building has changed their freight to come in the front. Because now after the World Trade Center, Paul, a lot of people insist you only have one entrance to the building. So this this adds to
the
this dilemma this guy's talking
right,
about.
Right.
Anyway, go right ahead, yeah.
All right, so they're bombarding commercial drivers, independents. I drive around the city myself,
uh-huh,
with tickets, which you end up having to go down to, I think it's on John Street now, right? Pretty close to the Trade Center ruins. And you spend 2 hours there fighting a ticket, which you easily can beat with a some sort of written invoice or information for the judge. And you're going to keep getting ticket after ticket after ticket because Giuliani, who everyone is praising, every single person who is not affected by him or who has never been affected by him, mostly white people with a lot of money or just people who are removed from... Remove from any trouble that might come
okay
upon them. From
okay.
Him.
Now, I was with someone, I won't mention who they are, when Giuliani first took office. And if you remember, all of us were walking around. It was in front page headlines. These scofflaws had gotten, I believe one guy owned $56,000 in tickets and that kind of thing during the Dinkins administration. The first day of the administration, of the Giuliani administration, my friend's car was towed for two tickets that he had. So that is the Giuliani administration. However, you know, I have no problems in blaming Giuliani for a great deal of things in the city. However, it is after the September 11th situation, and I will tell you that it seems that that has really made the thing even more exacerbated, the real bad situation out there. I hear you loud and clear. How can we help? You know, but I do. You blame it more on Giuliani still?
Well, I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
I just want to say that. And also, they have these prerogatives, they call them. You know what a prerogative is? You're a journalist. It's when they give the traffic CO, whoever controls the traffic and the flow, which direction you're turning, this and that in the city, they having these prerogatives which make you turn. Like, say you're coming down 57th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Now, forget 57th, a single lane. Make it 50th Street. Coming
yeah
out 50th. They think, and I'm talking about just a regular traffic agent, will be standing in the middle, you know, doing the hand motions, the whistle, whatever, and then they'll tell you you can't turn, or you have to turn because you can't go straight.
Okay.
And I'm like, wait a second, I have to see a client on that block.
Oh.
You can't stop me from, if I turn here, it's going to take me 45 minutes to get back around.
Okay, listen, you may not like to hear this response, but there's a lot of that happening in the city, and Paul and I got tired of announcing, and don't announce it anymore, that the city, unless you don't know it, feels that they have the right, certainly the privilege, of stopping you anywhere they want to, particularly any time from 14th Street down. That's still happening. And they will stop you. And this is still, I think, Paul, that we are still in, what is it they code, what the police call it, what stage is this?
Super high alert.
Super high alert. So they will use that as an excuse, and it is about security, but it is some high alert that we're still on.
Super high
alert. We're only 3 months from that. So you're trying to work.
I hear a lot, and I noticed that, you know, because I've been driving in the city a lot, and I try and schedule my life, so whatever the rush hour is, I'm going the other way.
And you're in the midst of it,
but
my
it's hard
friend.
For people to do that.
Yeah, and he's talking about Manhattan, the epicenter of it all. So
about Midtown.
And Midtown, the same thing. So be careful out there, man.
Look at Central Park. I saw this documentary about how Central Park was designed. It was designed so like pedestrian, horse, and carriage paths would all be separate and never intercede with each other. And it was supposed to be the design for the city. And I would like to see some modern city design where you had roads for trucks, roads for cars, and paths for pedestrians and bicycles that never crossed each other.
Right.
Wouldn't that be something if some brilliant person were to redesign New York in that way?
Listen, we got to move.
Thanks a lot.
Listen, let me ask you something. Are you Midtown now and driving?
Right now, I am waiting to go over the GW into the city.
How's the gridlock?
There's a lot of selfish people in their cars with cigarettes and coffee.
All right.
And it's just flowing very slowly. And I just want to say one last note for Paul. On my father's side, I'm Austrian-Italian. Uh-huh. And on my mother's side, I'm Sephardic.
All right. Wow, that's
you eclectic
like,
guy. You.
From what I know that story. I mean, I'm Hungarian and Italian, so.
All right, man. Thanks a lot for calling in, my friend.
Later on.
All right. Good luck, and I hope you have a much better day today at work with your car.
Hey, keep those Jews in check, okay?
No, you they keep us in check.
Yeah. Okay, he said that as a Jew. I'm gonna goodbye.
That's a joke. I thought you were gonna say
9:41 in the morning.
Right.
Not so funny. I don't take those things. You know, people say I'm touchy about that. We don't need to go there.
I saw a whole week of Seinfeld making jokes about making out in the back of Schindler's List.
Who the hell ever told anybody that if we let it go with one group, it's gonna stop at another? It's as basic as that. 9:41 in the morning. Don't play like that. Hi there, WDI. This morning, you're on the air. Well, I've been hung up by other people, something like that, better people. 9:42, hello, you're on the air. Hello? We must move on. I'm so sorry you put us on hold. Hi there, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask Paul if he had mentioned one time about a priest, I don't want you to mention his name, down at the World Trade Center, and you said, Paul...
Yeah, a friend of mine who's an Episcopal priest.
Yeah, you said you were going to have him on. I thought that your story about him was very interesting.
It is, and I haven't really, we could do that. We haven't really discussed it. Santiago, myself, we might do that yet. Yes.
What was this?
He works, my friend, who's an Episcopal priest, who's been going down to the World Trade Center and performing on a volunteer basis the last rites for body
parts.
Yes,
I do remember you mentioning. I would love to talk to that guy.
Yeah, okay, Frank.
I just thought that was... another side of what's going on and getting a view of,
I have to find out when he works his regular job, if he's available.
I think
he has a regular job, too.
I think that's great.
Okay, we'll do that for you.
Okay. Yeah,
all right. Good. And for us, too. We need to hear this guy.
Hey, peace and love.
Thanks a lot,
He's
man.
A Puerto Rican-Italian guy, by the way.
Oh, well, let's rethink that. Oh, I just said we don't go there. Thanks a lot, man.
All right.
You guys are funny, man.
Thanks a lot, bro. 9:43 in the morning, 212-209-2900. You know, as we talk, the CNN, other media is raging in front of us. That's the right
word. You can see it.
There's rage and sympathy from traitor California neighbors talking about John Walker and that guy. It's getting worse and deeper for him as they allegedly discover more and more gloating, more and more that he indeed was part of the process. Oh, it's getting deep. 9:44 in the morning. Meanwhile, Kitty Couric's getting $56 million or something like that. Help me, Katie. 9:44 in the morning. Hi there. WBI this morning. You're on the air. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this Paul?
This is Santiago. I just faked that I sounded like Paul.
Oh, my God. I'm on the air. I'm excited. Hi.
Who are you?
Oh, my name is Diamantina.
Hi.
Torres from the Bronx. I'm a first-time caller, and I'd like to say hello to you and Paul. Very good show.
Thank you.
And that I'm very sad that Ms. Eutrice Lee would no longer be on the air. I've really enjoyed her for a while, and she's a powerful speaker. And she will truly be missed. And I agree with Paul that Ms. Amy Goodman did tie a rope around her own neck. But all of you at one point or another has had an impact on my life. And if anything, I'm glad that you're on the air. I know people come and go. And, that's just something that happens in life. But it's a good program. And I hope that it continues to go on the air. and good people. And God bless, and I hope all of you have a very good holiday.
Well, God bless you too,
thank
really,
you
from
that.
The heart, and we thank you from the heart for myself. It's just great to hear. I cannot comment, by the way, and Paul knows this. I don't know much of the details at all. All I can say is anytime a caller calls to support another producer and the work we're doing here, I couldn't thank you more, really. It's just great, and I'm glad that, as you said, it makes a change in your life. Nothing could be more important to the both of us, and I know I speak for Paul when I say this, than knowing that we get through and the message gets through. So really, again, thanks from the heart.
May I just say something for a second? On Saturday, you know where Fordham in the Bronx is?
Sure.
Right across the street from Sears in the market.
Mm-hmm.
I will be displaying a Santa for all the children.
Okay, why don't you say that when that is again, okay? Say that when that is again?
Like there's a market on Fordham Road.
Yeah, sure.
Like across the street from...
Right, where they built the covering over the train there.
Right.
On Webster Avenue.
Yeah, I'll have a stand for the children for Santa.
All right.
This wasn't my main point. I just thought I'd bring it up.
No? Well, we'll do that, and if we find ourselves around that part of town, we'll do that, and our listeners will say hello to you. What's your
name? It'll be a Latino Santa. We couldn't find a rosy cheek Santa.
Okay, that sounds good.
But,
that's
you
great.
Know, we were going to cover his mustache.
But okay.
You guys really are wonderful. And
thanks,
I basically, even the people that are no longer there one time or another, did have an impact in my life. And they're still dearly in my heart. And I hope everyone has a wonderful holiday and
all
a great
right.
day.
Thank you
for taking my call.
Thank you. A more honest call we could not have. Thanks a lot. That's a great call for
you're
Christmas.
You're welcome. Bye.
Paul, let's go to that corner soon, maybe on Saturday, and take a look at that Santa. What do you think?
Yeah. I love it up there. I'm, you know, a child of the Bronx.
Absolutely.
We
love the Bronx. 9:47 in the morning, taking your calls at 212-209-2900. Hi there. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Turn the radio off.
All right.
I can't believe I got through.
You got through. What's your name?
Sophia from New Jersey.
Sophia.
Yeah. Actually, there's a lot of things I wanted to say, but I just... that guy, George, is my personal vendetta to get him off the radio because he thinks Utrecht is racist, and that's what needs to be said about his opinion. But anyway, that guy, the guy that you had from the, John Liu?
John Liu, the new Asian-American City Council member, from Queens.
Boy, I kind of felt that he was dancing around a lot of questions that you're asking, and I think that goes to say about a lot of people, especially Asian Americans, who sometimes they don't, since they're not affected like a lot of black people in regards to some of the racist things that occur, and sometimes they often are often in a pile where they kind of deny our reality, where, you know, we'll say that, you know, no one cared about racial profiling when we were screaming that it had been going on. Now all of a sudden everyone's concerned when it's happening to them.
I hear
you. You know, that type of thing. And that really bugs me. Like this woman called up from New Jersey saying that there's no racism in her town. I don't know where in New Jersey she's living, but goodness, come on. Give me a break. New Jersey?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Sophia,
it doesn't happen to you. Does not mean it's not happening to everyone else.
Hey. Sophia, don't leave us here. That's a great call. Well, two things. I don't want to say it's in defense of the councilman, but remember, I didn't ask him. When I asked him what he felt was one of the most important things, it was he who said racial profiling. And when I asked him about who
but
he read...
I'm
just being fair. And also when I first asked him about the diversity that he represents, he said very clearly that he's an Asian American, but African Americans he represents, etc. And I asked him about the kinds of issues that were important to that community. And he did again say racial profiling, the whole issue with the police and abuse and education. Now, what I think you need to do is to keep his feet to the fire. But be very careful, Sophia. You know, I think my take on this is this way. If we've been talking about racial profiling, making so much noise about it, and you're from New Jersey, I'm from New York, we know what racial profiling is about.
I'm telling you.
And we want and have been urging people to talk about it, to be aware of it, and then we have an Asian American who I think is at least in the talk, because we ain't seen the walk yet, is clearly getting the message.
Right.
Let's not throw out that baby with the bathwater.
No,
let's see what happens. But
I agree with
but,
that.
But however, I'm also agreeing with you that there is an element of frustration when at long last somebody's talking about it, and we do wish it reflected more the people that were being affected by this in disproportionate ways. That's the best way that I can put it. An African American talking about it, a Latino talking about it, because often it's about color. I understand what you're saying, but let's see what happens. But I share with you that sense of frustration, and I hope, and that's his challenge. In fact, what you're talking about is to see just how good John Liu or anybody else can talk about the issues that affect this city overwhelmingly, and if we're black and Latino overwhelmingly, and if they are represent a great deal of his constituency, then we'll see what happens, and we'll get their take on the issue of racial profiling. But we have to hold their feet to the fire. I think that's right. But
yeah, he definitely seemed like one of the more enlightened people, which was really good. And you know what?
But I agree with you with a little bit of dancing, though.
Right. I appreciate the fact that, you know, when some people, when you say you're the first whatever, they hate when you say that. And he seemed very, very proud that he was the first Asian American. And I hate when a lot of black people that said about a lot, you're the first black whatever, they're like, oh, well, don't talk about that. I'm here for, you know what I mean? They kind of like almost shove that under the table, and I don't think that's good.
You know, that's interesting. That has a double-edged sword, Sonia. Let me tell you where that's coming from, and that's coming from me, too. I have that mixed feeling, too. You know, often, like it or not, I'm the first Puerto Rican on a certain kind of board, first Puerto Rican to get a certain award, that kind of thing.
Right.
And after a while, what happens is you begin to think, well, in the beginning, you think, well, I want people to know me for my work. And does the fact that I'm Puerto Rican have any edge on my being here kind of thing goes through your mind?
But I think what's important is when you're in that position, you make it clear that, yes, I'm the first, but do not consider me the spokesperson for everyone.
And that's
very what people should make clear.
That's kind of the second thing that comes into my mind right after that.
You should.
And then I say, wait a minute, like it or not, I am the first Puerto Rican. And to a great extent, you know, that's the choice that you make, and the choice that I make is, yes, I am the first Puerto Rican whatever. I think I am still the first and only Puerto Rican in morning drive time that anchors a show in a city that is still overwhelmingly Latino and African American. So I know what I'm talking about when I talk to you about this. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather be known on the journalist, the talk show host, the informed person I am.
Right.
But I can't get away from the fact that I am Puerto Rican. And when people bring that up, the double-edged sword in reaction, this is what I wanted you to understand, is, well, are they thanking me because I'm the first Puerto Rican or because I'm good or I want to do a job? Understand that that's kind of where it's coming from on the other side.
Right.
You know, but you're right, and I'm proud of both. I'm a Puerto Rican. I'm a talk show host. I'm also a dancer, and I also sing. No, I'm not a kid.
You know, I also want to say great show, and even though I wanted to echo what the other caller had said, I mean, I started out listening to them, and, you know, I know that you guys are 10 times better because a lot more diverse, and you have a lot of different takes on things. And can I say that I was completely tired of hearing about East Timor every day, like that was the only place in the world that would strife was going on. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you very much. Those will be our last words. Hey, I don't know what to say. I'm overwhelmed, and I'm not usually on the show. I love you. Great calls. You've challenged us. You've talked to us. You've told us off. And we've taken it all, and that's the kind of morning show that we like.
Just like a marriage.
No pandering.
Ooh.
Can we talk divorce?
I know, right?
Paul, it's a pleasure as usual, man. All right. Let me give it to you now properly at 9:54 going into 9:55. That's it for our edition of WBAI this morning for this Thursday, December 13th, 2001. It is 46 degrees. I'm Santiago Nieves, producer and host of today's show, and I'm going to give it now to Paul with our out-the-door news and weather. I want to thank Andrea Clark, too, for really great work in engineering today's show. Again, our email address, don't forget it, is WBAI this morning at AOL.com. That's it for this edition, except for Paul in the news and weather. Paul, it's all yours. You look like you have some very interesting news in your hand.
Well, I'm trying to get all the information here. I'm looking, you know, we had a Marcial Gonzalez was on our show on Let Him Talk with Joni and myself about 5 o'clock this morning.
Uh-huh.
And he's working with a dance group, I'm trying to get the name. It's not the information here. The dance department of PSRC. This is just not the... It doesn't seem to have the proper information here, but it's tomorrow, and I'll just have to announce it again tomorrow morning. There's going to be a town hall
123 West 43rd Street, a winter concert. It's going to be December 14th at 7:30 p.m., and it's going to be about the Public School Repertory Company. And they're going to be doing great, talented dancers from the public school system of New York doing the type of dance that is going to be on Broadway. And these are like the Fame kids, the most recent crop of the Fame kids from the schools of New York. This is dance. And it's a wonderful, I haven't seen it, but Joni's seen it. It's the most incredible thing you've ever seen. These are the most talented dancers coming out of the schools of New York, from the streets and from the communities of New York City. It's going to be, and it's a fundraiser to help them because they've got all their budget cut in the school system.
Let's get some of those kids on here.
We can have them on tomorrow. Yeah. I have the phone number and all the information. We can do it.
Let's do it, yeah.
And Marcial was wonderful this morning and really told us a lot about it. And that's going to be at Town Hall, 123 West 43rd Street, between 6 and 7th Avenue on the second floor tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. It's going to be their winter concert to help support the Public School Repertory Company. Their number, 212-382-1875. That's 212-382-1875.
All right, and that's it for the show at 9:56. Here is Paul with the out-the-door news and weather. Thanks for joining us on this edition of WBAI this morning.
Thank you. President Bush will announce this morning that he plans to withdraw the United States from the ABM treaty. Pulling out of the 1972 treaty with Russia will clear the way for Bush to pursue his national missile defense plan. And, you know, I just got off the wire. It has been officially announced just moments ago that the United States has formally notified Russia of its intention to withdraw from the anti-ballistic missile treaty. The decision paves the way for President Bush to pursue an anti-missile defense shield. Bush plans a formal announcement at the White House later this morning. Israel has cut all ties to Yasser Arafat, saying the Palestinian leader is no longer relevant. An Arafat spokesman calls the move an official declaration of war. Israel has launched airstrikes against Palestinian areas after an attack that killed 10 Israelis. United States airstrikes on Tora Bora, a cave system in eastern Afghanistan where Osama bin Laden may be hiding, have intensified today, and Afghan tribal fighters have launched a new assault against forces loyal to bin Laden after a second ceasefire attempt in as many days failed. Retail sales plunged a record 3.7% last month as consumers held on to more of their money. On the flip side, Americans filing first-time jobless claims also dropped 86,000, the sharpest drop in 9 years. Wall Street opened down on the news. And thanks to an extended stay by the space shuttle Endeavour, the crew on the International Space Station will get more time to work on science projects. The shuttle was supposed to leave tomorrow, but NASA has bumped that back a day so the crew could do some repairs. And let me end with this story. Israel used helicopters, bulldozers, and dynamite today to try and silence the voice of Palestine radio station. An Israeli army spokesperson said the station and other Palestinian media had been inciting violence against Israel, a claim rejected by Palestinian officials. Israel hit the symbol of Palestinian aspirations for independence following a Palestinian attack that killed 10 Israelis on the West Bank. Missile-firing helicopters struck first, followed later by bulldozers that leveled the building and a dynamite charge that toppled the antenna mast in the West Bank city of Ramallah. The Army spokesperson, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver Rafowitz, said, quote, "This radio, like other broadcast stations, is using anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli messages to prepare popular support for the violence. The radio station's only transmission facilities, 5 buildings and a towering antenna, were destroyed." Quote, "Israel has taken a final decision to put an end to the peace process and all peace moves," unquote. That's according to the Palestinian Radio and Television Broadcast Corporation statement. The broadcaster with studios elsewhere in Ramallah began to feed its broadcast or transmission by local FM stations after the Israeli attack silenced its AM frequency. The importance of radio in the world today for getting the message out. I'm Paul DiRienzo from the WBAI News Department. It is 47 going up to 52 degrees in New York.
And Pacifica National News is coming up at the 10 o'clock hour. That's it for this edition. Do keep listening to WBAI throughout the morning, afternoon, this evening, and we're here 24-7. WBAI can be listened to outside of our broadcast area. Log on to WBAI.org.